Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom, and we are ready to start our study. We will start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we thank you and bless you for another week. We thank you, Father, for all you do in our life. We thank you for the blessings and we thank you for the trials and we thank you for the purification that you give us. We thank you most of all, Father, for calling us out of the world and opening up our minds to your truth, protecting us and guiding us, and we ask your spirit to guide and lead this study. And we thank you, Father, so much for the great sacrifice of sending your Son to this earth to suffer and die and pay the penalty of our sins. In Yeshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Alrighty, so we are on the second part two of the study on the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to rehash part one at all. Anybody who is listening tonight and didn't hear the first part, you can hear it online on the website. So we left off, basically, the first half of this study was really showing that the Holy Spirit is not a person. I'm going to continue on this a tiny bit in the beginning of the study, and then we're going to get into how the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. But we left off in John 17 the last time, showing the unity chapter. If there's one chapter in the entirety of the Bible that is on the unity of the Father and the Son, it's John 17, and yet the Holy Spirit is not mentioned in that chapter at all as any kind of third entity of some kind of Trinity. We also talked about Yeshua in Scripture speaking to his Heavenly Father many, many times, hundreds of times in Scripture, and clearly saying the Father is greater than him, the Father is a separate being than him, but again mentioning nothing about a third being called the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not separate from Yahweh, like we said, but it is Yahweh's glorious power and his mind. So anybody, like I said, who's going to listen here and didn't hear part one, you really got to go into it. We gave extreme proof that, like I said, that the Holy Spirit is not a separate being. The Trinity is not something that is scriptural, but from paganism. And again, we're not going to rehash that because we went over that last week. So I just wanted to show a couple of scriptures showing that in the throne in heaven, in Psalm 110, we'll start there. Psalm 110, right? A Psalm of David. A declaration of Yahweh to my Adonai, right? Adonai is only for Yahweh. So here we see two beings here. One Yahweh and Adonai, who is also a Yahweh. And he's saying, sit at my right hand until I place your enemies as your footstool. Verse 4, Yahweh has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And like we said, Melchizedek is a title for the Messiah. And then verse 5, Yahweh at your right hand. So now this Adonai in verse 1 is also called Yahweh in verse 5. Yahweh at your right hand shatters kings in the day of his anger. So this sets the precedent that right now today, you know, in the year 2021, we're in already, in heaven, there are two thrones, the Bible tells us. One throne where Yahweh the Father is sitting, and there is a second throne to his right where Yeshua his Son is sitting. Hebrews 10 in verse 12 says the same thing. But he offering but one sacrifice for sin sat down in perpetuity at the right hand of Yahweh. Talking about Yeshua the Son. So, actually, altogether, there's about 13 New Testament references showing right now, at this moment, Yeshua is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of Yahweh. Never is there anything mentioned about a third throne of the Holy Spirit sitting. Nothing ever mentioned about the Holy Spirit ever sitting anywhere, because the Holy Spirit is not a being. The Holy Spirit is literally what Yahweh is made of. It literally is what Yahweh is. If you remember when we were going over Revelation, I'm not going to go there, but just to reference this, in chapters 4 and 5, we tour Yahweh's throne in heaven in the heavenly host. And there were cherubs and 24 elders and the four living creatures around the throne. And yet not one word is mentioned about the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit being a separate being there with Yahweh in heaven. Oh, excuse me. And I think one of the reasons why this is so misunderstood and people thinking that Yahweh is a Trinity is because of the bad translations that are out there. Now, praise Yahweh, you know, we have the Hebrew Roots Bible. There have been other translations that have come out in the last 20 years that may not be perfect, the same way ours isn't perfect, but maybe halfway decent. But before that, if you go back 20, 25 years ago, you know, basically for hundreds of years, you had the King James Version and, you know, a few other versions, Tinsdale and, you know, very, very few. You could probably name them on one hand of the translations. And again, not to say these people didn't try their best, but the translations had thousands of mistakes. That's one of the things that inspired me to do the Hebrew Roots Bible, was I was well more than 1,000 errors and crossouts in my original King James Bible. And I said, why not just do a Bible and fix these things? So when you're looking in these other translations, they incorrectly are translating the Holy Spirit with a bias because of the Trinity doctrine coming from Constantine, like we said, that the Holy Spirit is a being when it's not. Now, when you look in a lot of ancient languages, right, what you see is in a lot of languages like Hebrew, like Aramaic, like German, you know, many languages, Italian, words come in what they call the feminine and in the masculine. And basically, it doesn't mean that a word is feminine or masculine. All it basically means is how the word would end. If it would end maybe in an A, or would it end in an O if it's masculine or if it's feminine. To give you an example, like in Hebrew, the word book is sefer. You know, sefer is book. So, a book is not masculine or feminine. It's a book. And yet, it's for language purposes, it's called masculine, right? Now, what's interesting, though, is when we look into the Greek actually does have a neuter form. Hebrew and Aramaic does not, but the Greek does have a neuter form. Meaning what? Meaning that in the Greek, the Ruach HaKodesh, which is translated into Holy Spirit in English, is neuter. Meaningly, it's not feminine or masculine. Meaning so when you're translating it, it would be it. And again, most up until just recently, except if you came from the Eastern congregations in Armenia and Syria and these places, and you had the Peshitta for the last 2,000 years, most of the Christians around the world were dealing with the Greek New Testament for much of the last 2,000 years. So there's no reason why the Ruach, which literally means wind, right? It's not a name. It just means wind. Why it wouldn't have been translated as it instead of he. So it's the power or the essence of Yahweh. And interesting enough, the Ruach HaKodesh in the Hebrew, if you go into the Tanakh, the Old Testament as they call it, but it's actually the Tanakh, and you look up the Ruach HaKodesh, it's there many times, right? It's actually in the feminine. It's in the feminine form, and I don't think there's anybody out there that would think the Holy Spirit is a woman. Although, you know, I have read some papers with some ridiculous things on that, you know, which I will not get into now for many reasons. But that's one of the reasons why I think that it was so misunderstood. And like I said, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is actually not even a personal name, but it is simply a title for the power or the mind of Yahweh, which is manifested through his Holy Spirit. And like I said, which doesn't even have a name. The Holy Spirit does not have a name. So let's go to John 1, verse 5. John 1, 5, 7. And I want to read you the translation in the King James. 1 John 5 and verse 7. Says, for there are three that bear witness, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So someone may read that, and they, if I'm reading that, that is a scripture that could be used to purport, no, look, there is a Trinity, there is a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost. However, this verse is not in Aramaic, It is not in Greek, and it is not even in the earliest Latin manuscripts. It's not in any early manuscript. And a matter of fact, in any good study Bible, I remember I had the Ryrie Study Bible when I first was becoming a believer now, 37, 38 years ago. And right in that study Bible, it says that this verse was later added in medieval times and is not in any early manuscript. So the way it should read is 1 John 5, 6 through 8 should be, "This is the one coming through water and blood, Yeshua Messiah, not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one witnessing, because the Spirit is the truth. And there are three that bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three are Ikad." So that's basically the way it's saying it. And why is it, what is it referencing? It's not referencing anything about a Trinity, not even talking about the Trinity. What's happening here is in 1 John, John, which is one of the last letters to be written in the Brit Hadashah, you know, maybe the last, you know, his three epistles. He's dealing with Gnosticism. And in Gnosticism, they were coming to believe that Yeshua never was born in the flesh. That Elohim could no way ever come into a human body because you human beings are too corrupted. So John is writing this not to show a Trinity, but he's actually writing it to show that Yeshua was actually born of an earthly mother. That was basically it. Not, you know, this is the one coming through water and blood, not by water only, but by water and blood. Because when he's born from his earthly mother, that's the way the birth would happen. So it has nothing to do at all with a Trinity, because the Trinity is not even mentioned. It simply has to do with John showing that Yeshua was physically born from Miriam. The Trinity is a satanic doctrine, and it totally negates the beautiful plan of the family of Yahweh in Scripture, where Yahweh the Father is literally taking a piece of himself, his spirit, and he is putting it into his begotten children, into his family, and his soon coming kingdom. So just a couple of scriptures on this. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, right? "And Elohim said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven, over the cattle, over the earth, and over all the creepers creeping on the earth. And Elohim created the man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. He created them, male and female." So we clearly see here that Yahweh is not a closed-end trinity, but he is a family who is creating millions of people in his own image to be part of that family. 1 John 3, 2 and 3. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, and a very, very inspiring scripture. 1 John 3, 2 and 3 says, "Beloved, now we are the sons or children of Yahweh, and it was not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that if he is revealed, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone having this hope on himself purifies himself even as that one is pure," right? So we don't know yet what we'll be, but we'll know we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. We will be like him because we are his children. John 14, 15 through 20. John 14, 15 through 20. Says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will petition the Father, and he will give you another one which will end the curse, that it may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see it nor know it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I am coming to you. Yet a little while, and the world no longer sees me, but you see me, because I live, you also shall live. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And again, the Holy Spirit not being mentioned here. But what is Yeshua saying, right? He's saying that don't worry, that the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to be in us, and the Holy Spirit is going to, by the power of Yahweh, we're going to be led, and it's going to open up our minds to all truth. So when you look at the true importance of the Ruach HaKodesh in Scripture, it is amazing. As Yeshua was born by the Ruach HaKodesh, right, the Holy Spirit, he was united with Yahweh by the same Spirit, and every miracle he did was by the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the emanating decisive power of Yahweh. That's exactly what it is. It is his power, it's his mind, it's what he's made of, right? Then in the book of John, we said this, right? Chapters 13 through 17. Right before Yeshua was taken to be beaten and crucified, he prayed to the Father to give the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to all true covenant believers who would believe in him after his resurrection. John 14 in verse 15. John 14 and verse 15. We read this. We just read this, right? If you love me, keep my commandments. You'll petition the Father. And he says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, for it dwells with you and shall be in you. So this is what he's telling the Father. So we can see from these scriptures that Yeshua is promising that after his death and resurrection, he will send the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in his true believers. And the Spirit of Yahweh in the true believer would end the curse of Adam from the Garden of Eden, who rejected the Spirit of Yahweh for free choice to make his own rules on what is good and what is evil. Wow, here we are in the end result. You know, just take a look around, see how bad that is. And we're at a point now where, like it says in Isaiah, they're calling good for evil and evil for good because they don't know anymore. And we should be so thankful that we have the Ruach HaKodesh, the very Spirit of the only true eternal creator of the universe, in our minds and in living in us and keeping us from being deceived the way the rest of the world is deceived. Yahweh's Spirit, which is his very mind and thought pattern, would change the heart and mind of the true believer if he surrendered his wicked human nature to the holy, sanctified, submissive nature of the Spirit of Yahweh. So now let's look at some scripture to see some of the characteristics of Yahweh's Spirit. We'll start in Isaiah 11, Isaiah 11, 2 and 3. And the Spirit of Yahweh will rest on him, and he will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. And he is made to breathe in the fear of Yahweh, but he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, right? So the Spirit of Yahweh would be in the Messiah the same way he said it would be in us. The Holy Spirit will transform the believer's life and give him literally the mind of Messiah. And as we're going to see here in the next scripture in Romans 8, the mind of Yeshua is the same Spirit. The mind of that was in Yeshua and the mind that's in us, it's the same. Romans 8, starting in verse 9, we'll read 9, 10, 11. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you. But if anyone is not the Spirit of the Messiah, this one does not belong to him. But if the Messiah is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of the one having raised Yeshua from the dead dwells in you, the one having raised the Messiah from the dead will make your mortal bodies live through the indwelling of his Spirit in you. So that's what makes you a child of his. Literally, can you imagine? And that's why baptism is so important, because it's not just a ceremony. It's not joining some kind of church or organization. And that's why it has to be somebody who is qualified to do it. Because if not, you're basically just going to get wet. It has to be somebody that Yahweh has given that authority and power to transfer his literal spirit into that person. So we can see from these scriptures, right, in Isaiah and in Romans, that the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Yeshua are the same Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not a person, but is the very power of Yahweh. Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son are two different beings, right? They're separate beings, each in heaven, now sitting on his own throne. We already went over that. But the Holy Spirit is the spirit of holiness and life that Yeshua and Yahweh are made up of. If you look in Luke 4 and verse 1. It says, in full of the Holy Spirit, Yeshua is full of the Holy Spirit. Yeshua returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 of Luke 4, he says, and Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He returned in the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of Yahweh. And we say, my name is Don, right? And I'm made up of human flesh. I'm made up of matter, which is flesh, right? That's what I am. My flesh is part of me, but it is not a separate being from myself, right? I can't send my flesh out, you know, one day and say, I'm kind of tired. Flesh, you go to the store and you buy the groceries. I'm going to stay here and rest some. Nope, it doesn't work that way. Because your flesh is basically, it's simply a part of you, right? But it doesn't have a mind. It doesn't have a will. It can't think on its own. Yahweh and Yeshua are spirit, and they are each separate individuals made up of the one Ruach HaKodesh, the one spirit, that is the very spirit and mind of Yahweh. Because there is only one mind, one spirit, Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son have the same spirit, and that is why they are echad in Hebrew, or united in mind, in goal, and purpose. So, mankind has a different spirit, right? Mankind's spirit is what? Because he rejected the spirit of Yahweh, he's got a spirit of pride, rebellion, envy, strife. We see it in the world today. But by repenting of our sins and accepting the shed blood of Yeshua for the forgiveness of sins and being baptized and having hands laid on us by an elder for the receiving of the Holy Spirit, this is what makes one a child of Yahweh. And again, anybody who is coming in, you know, new to the website, new to the studies, we went over this in about a year ago in our first study from the 25 lessons on joining the new covenant and what is true repentance. And the family of Yahweh, which part of it we're going over today. So for new people, please go over lesson 1, 2, and 3. And a lot of this will make sense from that time. So mankind has a rebellious spirit. He rejected the spirit of Yahweh from creation. Adam did. And then what happened? You know, from that time, man has been separated from Yahweh. He's been going his own way. He's been making his own societies, his own governments, his own schools. And he is deciding on what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong. But once somebody comes to repentance, remember in Acts, the second chapter, when they're coming to Peter, Kepha, and he's given this great sermon on Shavuot. And from that sermon, they came and they said, they believed. And they said, what shall we do? And what did he say? Repent and believe. Repent and believe. So that's what we need to do. And then you have to be baptized by somebody who has the authority from Yahweh to transfer his spirit. Romans 8 and verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the spirit of Yahweh, these are the sons or children of Yahweh. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship by which we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba in Hebrew means like daddy. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. So like I said, Yahweh is not a closed-end trinity. He is an open family and calling more to his family. This is the beautiful good news of the New Testament of Yeshua, that if we humble ourselves and repent, that we can literally receive the very Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit, the very essence and mind of Yahweh, and have the very spirit of Yahweh and Yeshua living in us and manifesting itself in our life. And that's what makes them one, because there's only one spirit. So the same mind, just like you, your mind thinks a certain way. And it likes certain things and dislikes certain things. And you have core values and beliefs. Well, you could take your mind and literally put it in another being that would be exactly like you. That's exactly the way Yeshua and Yahweh are. So it's amazing. It literally is amazing how the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, can be transferred in our life, how it can work in our life. This is the beautiful good news of the New Testament of Yeshua, that if we humble ourselves and repent, we can receive that spirit, the very essence and mind of Yahweh, and see it manifest in our life. Colossians 1 in verse 25. Colossians 1 in verse 25 says, of which I came a minister according to the stewardship of Elohim given to me for you, to preach the word of Yahweh everywhere, even the mystery having been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now is revealed to his saints, to whom Yahweh willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the nations, which is Messiah in you, the hope of glory. Can you imagine that? That's why I never feel alone, never feel discouraged, never feel down, because wherever you are, Yeshua is always with you, because his spirit is there, and it's an amazing spirit, and it's a powerful spirit. And like Yeshua said, he would not leave us as orphans, and that spirit is the thing that will get us through whatever we need to get through. And again, like I said, you have to have proper laying on of hands by a qualified, ordained elder of Yahweh to receive that spirit. Let's go to Acts 8 in verse 14. And the apostles in Jerusalem, hearing that Samaria had received the word of Yahweh, they sent Simon, Peter, and John to them, who going down prayed concerning them that they might receive the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. For it was not upon any one of them yet, but they were only baptized in the name of the Master Yeshua. Then they laid hands on them, the elders laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. But when Simon Magus, the sorcerer, saw that the Ruach HaKodesh is given through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, he offered them money, saying, give to me this authority that whomever I may lay on the hands, he may receive the Ruach HaKodesh. So again, when we look at this, what are we seeing? We're seeing that this power of Yahweh, this spirit of Yahweh, this mind of Yahweh, yes, it can be put in a human being, but there are qualifications. You have to repent of your sins, and you have to accept the blood of Yeshua for the forgiveness of their sins, and then you have to have an elder of Yahweh, somebody who's under judicial order, who has the authority, like it says here, to do the laying on of hands. And what always amazes me with this scripture is, Simon Magus was such a sorcerer and a deceiver, and the writings actually say, the historical writings, the way he died was, he was trying to counterfeit the resurrection. And he actually had himself buried alive to come out of a grave and say, look, I resurrected just like Yeshua did. And what happened? He never got out. He smothered to death and died. So somebody who was such a con artist, who was such a sorcerer, and literally doing magical acts, you know, demonic things, why would he need... why wouldn't he just go and say, I have the authority from Yahweh, so, like Balaam, right? Why would he need that? Because he saw that the Holy Spirit is the only real power. And he knew he didn't have that power. He knew that power could only come from a qualified elder of Yahweh. So this is a powerful scripture here to show that you just can't take that upon yourself, you know? And in the days we're living in, the Laodicean era, where people are against leadership and elders and everything else, if you really want to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to humble yourself and you have to follow Yahweh's judicial order. And it's very clear that the Bible mandate to receive the Ruach HaKodesh of Yahweh is to repent of one's sins, accept the blood of Yeshua for the forgiveness of those sins, and then get baptized by a qualified, ordained elder of Yahweh and have hands laid on them for the imparting of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, there's some in the Christian churches, also in the Pentecostal movement specifically, who believe they can receive the Holy Spirit without this biblical process. And they believe that having the Holy Spirit will make one shake uncontrollably or bark like a dog or fall to the ground speaking in some kind of ridiculous nonsense gibberish language. But this is not the Spirit of Yahweh, but it's demons. Sometimes it's just fake. I've seen people fake it, you know. And other times, it's literally demons that are happening there. And that's why, you know, people have told me that I've met, you know, over the years, I've met thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And some will say, oh, no, I was baptized when I was 8 years old in the Pentecostal church. And it's kind of like, well, if you feel good with that, maybe you're not a first fruit. Because if you're not baptized properly and you don't receive the Holy Spirit, you're not a first fruit. Because that's clearly what Romans 8 says. You know, that the first fruits are the ones that have the Spirit of Yahweh. And we just read how you receive the Spirit of Yahweh. But in the Pentecostal movement or other Christian churches, you are not. These people are not qualified. They're not ordained elders of Yahweh. And they don't have the authority from Yahweh. Because the people are not doing what's required to receive that. So proof of the Holy Spirit is not speaking gibberish of a demon, but it is having your life transformed by the Ruach HaKodesh to exhibit the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life. Please see the scriptures below. We'll read them here to see the power of Yahweh's Spirit of holiness and what it will do in a true believer's life who has received the Ruach HaKodesh through baptism and the laying on the hands of an ordained elder. And I remember years and years and years ago when the Church of God had first broke up and we had our home fellowship there. And we were understanding things that we never learned in Church of God. And one of them was the fruits of the Spirit and that believers, all believers have gifts and need to be using these gifts. And I was going over this for months. And then I remember somebody in the congregation said to me, "Oh, Elder Don, when are we going to get into meat? You know, when are we going to get into meat?" And I said to him, I said, "You know when?" I said, "When you show me one congregation on earth that all the people are living by these nine fruits of the Spirit, that's what meat is." Meat isn't knowing, different Hebrew phrases or different, knowledge-based things. But meat is literally surrendering your life to Yahweh's Spirit, to Yahweh through the Spirit, and being transformed, having your life transformed into a new person like you never knew you could be before. So this is the proof. This is the proof, you know, and like I said, not speaking the same thing over and over again. And, you know, we have a lesson coming up here soon, maybe even next week we'll see, on what is the true gift of speaking in languages. But it is certainly not what the Pentecostals are doing today. That is absolutely ridiculous. It's something that started in the early 1900s and then really manifests itself in the 1970s and 80s. But that is nothing to do with Yahweh's Spirit. But again, we'll get into that when we get into the lesson on what is the real gift of speaking in languages. So let's go to Romans 12. Romans 12. And let's see how this beautiful, wonderful Spirit of Yahweh can transform our lives. Romans 12 says, "Therefore, brethren, I call on you through the compassions of Yahweh to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in order to prove by you what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of Yahweh." Right? So the Holy Spirit, that's what we're to be. Not a sacrifice, you know, like in the first covenant, killing of an animal, but being a living sacrifice, being set apart and sanctified, pleasing to Yahweh, and living our life every day to Him by His Spirit, being transformed by the renewing of our mind by His Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and verse 17 says that the Elohim of our Master Yeshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him, right? So this is part of His Spirit. His Spirit gives us wisdom and revelation in the full knowledge of Him. The eyes of your mind having been enlightened, for you to know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance to the saints. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us, the ones believing according to the working of His mighty strength, which He worked in Messiah in raising Him from the dead, and He seated Him at His own right hand in heaven. Wow. So this is what we see. Like I said, the Holy Spirit is the power of Yahweh that transforms us, that changes us, that gives us the wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge to be able to be like Yahweh, but it's not a separate person. Let's go to Ephesians 3 now, a couple pages over. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 16. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. He says that he may give you according to the riches of his glory by his power to become mighty in the inward man through his spirit, that through faith Messiah may dwell in your hearts, having been rooted and founded in love, that you may be given strength to grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the surpassing knowledge and love of Messiah, that you may be filled to all the fullness of Elohim. Now to him being able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power working in us, right? Where does that power working in us? That power working in us is through his spirit. And the amazing part is, you know, that scripture tells us right now, we only have an earnest, we have a down payment of the spirit. So it's the same way, you know, we talked about a little while ago, the sermon on choose life, you know, how life starts. And you get the seed of the man with the egg of the woman, and they fertilize together. And just like the same as you could look when you're planting a plant, you're planting a tomato plant or whatever, it's the same way. You start with a seed that goes in the ground. It's the same with a baby. The baby starts as a seed, and he grows. And he grows and grows and grows and becomes bigger, the same as a plant would do the same thing, and then it starts bearing fruit. And this is the same way now. Like, we only have a down payment of that Holy Spirit. We only have a small portion of it. You know, it's like they say, the human mind, that the average person only uses like 3 or 4% of his brain capacity. Can you imagine? You know, wow, 3 or 4%. That's the most. Can you imagine if somebody used 80, 90, 100%? But it's the same with Yahweh's Spirit, that now we see through a glass half darkened, then we will see face to face. That the Spirit is transforming our mind and our life to think differently and praise him. And that's what keeps us sane in an unsane world. But think of what's going to happen when Yeshua returns and we shed these earthly bodies, and we'll have the fullness of that Spirit. When it's not just a couple of percent anymore, but the fullness of that Spirit will be in our life. Then we'll fully be manifested to these things we're reading. Ephesians 4, next chapter over, verse 22. He says, lay aside all your former practices and put off the old man, having been degenerated with deceitful lusts, right? The mind of Adam, the old man, the one that wants to be self-preserving, the one that wants to do it his own way, the one that lay out the same. This is what we're putting off. And what are we doing? Verse 23 of Ephesians 4. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Holy Spirit renews us daily, because it doesn't need food. It doesn't need energy. It doesn't need to be plugged in. It's there every day, and it's renewing us every day. And to put on the new man who is created by Yahweh in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, put away from you lying and speak the truth each with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and do not give the devil a chance. The one stealing, let him steal no more, but rather let him labor, working what is good with the hands, that he may have something to give to the one who has need. Let not any evil word go out from your mouth, but words that are good and useful for edification, that it may impart a blessing to those who hear them. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, by whom you were sealed to the day of redemption, right? We're sealed by that Holy Spirit, and we don't want to grieve it. How would you grieve the Holy Spirit of Yahweh? By quenching it, by not using it, by still letting your human mind, the mind of Adam, the mind of Satan, really, work through your life and not using the Holy Spirit. That's the way that you're grieving it. Let all bitterness, anger, wrath, turmoil, and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh has forgiven us through Messiah. So, you got to think to yourself and pray to Yahweh to show you, are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit being grieved? You know, Yahweh's being grieved because we're not utilizing this amazing power that's in our life. Because, you know, when you think of the parable of the talents, you know, we go over that many times because it's very pertinent, because the days we're living in Matthew 25, right? And we say, Yahweh's given each of us gifts. If we don't use those gifts, when Yeshua returns, he's going to take them away. But the gifts all come through the Holy Spirit. So before you can even use those gifts, you have to use the Holy Spirit. It's like you can equate it to the Holy Spirit being the piano, and the gift is being able to play the songs. But if you don't have the piano, you don't have the Spirit, you're not going to be able to play any songs. So it's the same way here, that we have to make sure that we're not grieving the Holy Spirit. So before you could even get into those gifts he's going to give, you want to make sure you're utilizing and allowing it to work in your life. It's an absolute miracle that Yahweh, who is omnipresent and is spirit, can take a part of his glorious eternal spirit of holiness and can implant it in human beings. And if they surrender to Yahweh, this Ruach HaKodesh, this Holy Spirit of Yahweh, can transform our mind and soul into a new creation. This is the amazing truth of the new covenant. However, after receiving the glorious Spirit of Yahweh through baptism, this does not mean that one will automatically change and become regenerated, right? Nothing comes easy. Yahweh wants to see, just like when the Israelites went into the land, right? He didn't say after 40 years, you know what? You guys had such a hard time out here in the wilderness. You know, things were so tough. Just go into that land and everything's there. There's golden trees and there's you know, rivers of water and everything's just waiting for you. No. After 40 years of going through those trials, he said, okay, now it's time to go into the promised land. Go and fight for it. I want to see how much you want it. Go fight for it. So the Holy Spirit is the same way. Yes, it can transform your life. Yes, it can change you in ways you can't even imagine. But you have to surrender to it. You have to give up your pride. You have to humble yourself before Yahweh. And that's why it always gets back to the fear of Yahweh. That's the beginning of everything. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of grace. If you don't fear Yahweh, then you know what you are? You're just a prideful idiot. That's all you are. Without the fear of Yahweh, you will never, ever get anywhere. And people think they have the fear of Yahweh, but when you see how disrespectful they are to him, you see how disrespectful they are even in prayer. And just in general, that's not showing fear of Yahweh. You know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's because we fear Yahweh. So after receiving the glorious gift of Yahweh through baptism, this does not mean that one will automatically change and become regenerated. The person must first truly repent of his or her sins. And in a spirit of humility, you have to surrender to Yahweh in order for his glorious spirit to work in you. It's that simple. You know, you've got to do it. It's got to be that transformation, and it takes time. That's why Yahweh doesn't have us just live 6 months or a year. We go through a period of time. The average period is around 70 years or so. You know, some people it's a little less, some people a little more. But we have that time because this is what it takes, and this is how we grow. And that's why it says, you know, to be thankful for our trials that we have. Because those trials are the things that humbles us. And the trials are the things that makes us grow closer to Yahweh and allows us to allow his spirit to work greater in us. So as stated in the above scriptures, one must separate from the world around them and not blaspheme the spirit that is living in them, but must yield to it as Yeshua did when he stated in Matthew 26:39, not my will be done, but your will be done. The true believer must grow daily in the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and allow the fruits of the Spirit to grow in them. So here are the fruits of the Spirit that someone will exhibit if they are truly filled with Yahweh's glorious Spirit of holiness. Let's go to Galatians 5, last scripture we're going to go into. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no instruction, right? There's no instruction against love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit, right? That's the way you're going to grow in these things. And you really have to ask yourself, if you go through these one by one, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. If you don't exhibit any of these fruits, then you certainly don't have the rock of Yahweh. It's impossible. Because Yahweh's spirit is not barren, right? Now, there may be some of these you're having some trouble with, and that's okay, because there's could be something in your life that's, you know, troubling you or something that's going on. So it doesn't mean that every single believer will manifest all nine of these in their life at every time in their life. But overall, if you're not manifesting these nine fruits and really manifesting at least two-thirds or more of them, something's wrong. And you have to ask yourself. And the only thing that could be wrong is it's not that you're not smart enough. It's not that you don't have enough assets. It's not that you don't have enough gifts. It's that you're not yielding to Yahweh. Stand back and see the salvation of Yahweh, like Moses said. You know, stand back. Sometimes you have to stand still and allow Yahweh to work. And here it is with the Spirit. If you want His Spirit to work in your life, you have to do this. You have to surrender to the Spirit, and you have to allow the Spirit to mold you and transform you. And I think a lot of times that people are just afraid to do it. You know, or sometimes you're so used to doing the same thing over and over again, even though it doesn't work. You know what the outcome is. And people are feel comfortable when they know their outcome, even if it's a bad outcome. Because the worst thing people don't like is they don't like the unknown. So this is how it is in the time we're living in. If you know, we're talking about the bride in the wilderness. And if we are going to change and we are going to transform ourselves and we're going to manifest into the bride of Messiah, then we have to really, really start thinking about this, of growing in the Holy Spirit, surrendering to Yahweh's Spirit, and getting all types of worldliness and worldly ways out of our life. Yahweh's Spirit is not barren, but it is fruitful and will produce the above fruits if it is being renewed daily and nurtured. If the believer surrenders to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, then their life will be continuously changed and transformed all the time. You know, you'll just keep growing and growing and growing, and then you'll think, as Yahweh shows you something new and you're growing, you think this is great, and then a year later you're like, wow, I thought that was great, this is even better, and you'll just keep growing and growing and growing into that. So, in conclusion, the doctrine of the Trinity is not in the Bible, okay? It is not in the Bible, and has been a pagan doctrine administrated by Satan for thousands of years. That's a fact. You could look in any, like we said last week, not going to get into it again, all of the trinities of Egypt and Babylon and Assyria and all the other places, Sumerians. Yahweh is a family and is not a trinity. And His family is continually growing as new members come to faith in Him through the blood of Yeshua, His Son, and repent of their sins and are baptized by an ordained elder and have the laying on of hands for the receiving of the Holy Spirit. So that is the way that you receive the Holy Spirit. And like I said, just like a little seed, it's just going to stay in there and be dormant unless you surrender to it and you spiritually water that seed and allow it to grow and allow the fruits of the Spirit to come into your life. And you'll be a different person. You'll be totally different than you were in the beginning. So before we end here, just some points to remember. The Trinity is not a biblical doctrine, but was taken from paganism and brought into Christianity by Constantine, the pagan Roman emperor, in the 4th century. Yahweh is not a Trinity, but a family, and His family grows by Him instilling the Ruach HaKodesh in a believer's life through repentance of sin, accepting the blood of Yeshua to pay the penalty of the sins, and being baptized by an ordained elder and having the laying on of hands for the imparting of the Ruach, the Spirit. Next, the Holy Spirit is not a person or being, but is the glorious power and mindset of Almighty Yahweh. Number 4, once the new believer receives the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, and surrenders and submits his human nature and free will over to it, it will literally transform the life of the believer through the fruits of the Ruach HaKodesh and make a new creation in Yahweh. That's the miracle of the New Testament. And we got to focus on that in the days we're living in, this transformation. And lastly, the Ruach HaKodesh is the same spirit as the spirit of Yeshua. Yahweh and Yeshua are two separate beings, but both are filled 100% of the one spirit of holiness. That is why they have the same mindset and thought pattern and love and purpose. It is the indwelling of Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh that makes them ikad, unified. Zechariah 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spoke, saying, "This is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts." So I have a message called "Is Belief in the Family of Yahweh Idolatry?" that goes over this subject. Again, if you want more teaching on it, we could have that. But I think this is, like I said in the beginning of the lesson last week, it's really, really important, because our doctrine is what puts us on that road to truth to the kingdom or falsehood to the lake of fire. And as we're seeing now, you know, sometimes people think, oh, well, what's the big deal? What does it matter if you believe the Holy Spirit is Yahweh's power or it's a third person? You know, what's the big deal? What if you believe the soul is immortal or it's not? What's the big deal if you believe the dead are asleep or you believe they're up in heaven? Because you don't just have one belief. One belief leads to another belief, right? Like if you believe in the Trinity, you don't believe in the spirit of Yahweh. You don't believe in the family of Yahweh, right? If you believe in Christmas, you don't believe in the holy days of Yahweh. So one falsehood will lead to another falsehood and will lead to you keeping from the truth. If you believe that the dead are in heaven, then you don't believe in the kingdom of Yahweh. And you wouldn't be living for that kingdom and waiting for that kingdom. You know? So these false beliefs deter from the truth. They deter from the true doctrine of Yeshua. And they deter from the kingdom of Yahweh. So it's important that we go over these things, we understand them, because Satan is like a roaring lion out there looking who he can devour. And like I said, especially in this past year, seeing the chaos, and then just in even the last few months, the lies on in the news and how much evil is out there, I just thank Yahweh every day of my life that I have his Ruach HaKodesh and that I have his truth. I don't want anything else. I'm not looking for more knowledge. I'm not looking for more information. I'm not looking to be smarter than the next guy. I have the truth of Yahweh, and that's all that matters. And I am so thankful for that, and that his spirit is living in me. So until next week, I hope you have a blessed week. I enjoy, our family does, having these Shabbats with you, inviting you into our living room. So until next week, Shabbat Shalom.